January 28th, 2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold suburbs of Chicago. We had snow over the weekend, but now it seems to be gone. Thanks for joining me today on RBN, for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. You will see a lot of very interesting links, mostly associated with each guest, that will help you to learn, enhance your knowledge about that particular day's topic. During the program, email your questions or comments to Spingola1@yahoo.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Don K. Preston, and he is from the Preterist Research Institute. He is the author of Israel 1948, Countdown to Nowhere. It was issued in 2002 and also again in 2011. He is also the author of 70 Weeks Are Determined for the Resurrection, which came out in 2007, and Who is This Babylon? Came out in 2011. His websites are BibleProphecy.com and eschatology.org. And that site is temporarily down. Anyway, you'll get a message. Welcome to the program, Don.
Thank you so much, Deanna. It's great to be with you. I'm honored at the invitation.
Well, thank you. First, I want to know about this, the image on your book, Israel 1948, Countdown to Nowhere. Now, it's shaped like a clock. There's a Star of David, and it's set at 4 o'clock.
Yes, indeed. Well, first of all, you have to know that I'm about as creative as a rock, and I had nothing whatsoever to do with that. I did, of course, approve it. But the symbolism of it is, obviously, you have the Star of David, which is symbolic in the minds of most people today of the nation of Israel. And in the mind of the dispensationalist / Zionist, we are currently on the countdown to the end. And more specifically, according to the leading dispensationalist of the day, to use that term, 1948 was the most significant last days fulfillment of prophecy that has ever been. And it ostensibly proves that the coming of the Lord has got to be just any time now. Of course, there's problem with that. But the symbolism of the clock signifies the so-called prophetic countdown, and the symbolism of the Star of David focuses on Israel in the mind of most people as being the focus of modern-day prophetic fulfillment.
Okay, now, speaking of focus, you indicated in the film that I watched that the focus of all of the news seems to be Israel, whether you're talking about financial, whether you're talking about religious, whether you're talking about political, whether you're talking about the war. Everybody, or at least the media and the politicians, all seem to be focused completely on Israel. We don't take a breath, eat a bite of food, or go anywhere but what we are supposed to consider Israel and their needs, its needs. We do have to take a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back, and then we'll pick this up on the other side of the break.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Are you facing foreclosure? Worried about late payments? Fight back and stay in your home. Zero Debt Guaranteed can help. We'll send you a free ebook just for calling 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Get the details on how to remove your risk to your debt. And so important to many homeowners today, how to stop foreclosure.
Forget loan modification.
The Zero Debt in 90 Days system can show you how to get the bank to pay your property taxes and insurance while stopping your foreclosure.
Without paying one dime.
You can take control. Stop foreclosure. Protect your cash, assets, wages, property, and sleep peacefully at night.
We've been helping people for over 18 years.
Call Zero Debt Guaranteed, 800-477-9256. Ask for free information, no obligation. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com now.
And our guest today is Don K. Preston. He is the president of the Preterist Research Institute. And we were talking about this unusual focus, this predominant focus in the news. Don, you there? What happened to John? Is our guest, did he escape? Hello? Is Don there? Crystal? Alrighty. Well, goodness. I was talking, I asked Don about the unusual focus in the news, whether it's financial, religious, chosen people, whatever it is, political, government, the focus always seems to be on Israel. I don't know what happened to our guest. He doesn't seem to be available, and I'm not sure that I'm not making any contact with the board op, so I feel like I'm all by myself here. I don't know what happened to Don. He was here just a moment ago. But anyway, he did write this wonderful book. It's called Israel 1948, Countdown to Nowhere. And in the introduction, he says, and it's only about 70 pages long, and it's available at Amazon, as are his other books. And in the introduction, he says, one of the greatest misunderstandings in the religious world today is that the physical nation of Israel remains, as Dwight Pentecost says, the determinative purpose of God. R.C. Sproul says, the dramatic return to Palestine of the Jews and the creation of the State of Israel in 1948 and the recapture of Jerusalem in 1967 have provoked a frenzy of interest in eschatology. Jack Van Imp, on his TV program of 7-17-02, said the restoration of Israel in 1948 is positive proof that we are living in the end times. And that the return of the Lord is at hand. Now, Tim LaHaye, co-author of the widely popular Left Behind books, and his co-founder of the Pre-Trib Research Center, Thomas Ice, collaborated on a major book, Charting the End Times. And in that work, they claim that the events of 1948 serve to prove that Israel, God's super sign of the end times, is a clear indicator that time is growing shorter with each passing hour. We strongly differ with this, however, and maintain that 1948 is not related to the end time. Now, he goes on to state that the second coming was supposed to have taken place 40 years after 1948, after the founding of the Israeli state. And obviously that did not happen. All righty. He is back. Don, are you back? Okay, I'm still not hearing him. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to our guest. All right, what is commonly known, and there is trouble in the millennial camp about this, is that LaHaye and Ice, hereafter Charting, believe that the Bible predicted two end-time gatherings of Israel. And I quote, "We need to be careful to distinguish which prophecies are being fulfilled in our day and which ones await future fulfillment. In short, there will be two end-time regatherings, one before the tribulation and one after," unquote. And that's from Charting. All right, Don, I understand you're back. You can hear us, but we cannot hear you. Okay, so what we need to do is maybe have the board op go through your options in your Skype program just to make sure that we're connecting appropriately. Sometimes that happens. It seems to be your connection. So we may have to call you, in which case, if you want to give the board op your telephone number, that would be really good.
Hello?
Oh, are you there?
I am here. I don't know what in the world is going on. I could hear you perfectly well, and my microphone settings were excellent. Your audio level was excellent, and I was just talking up storm, and nobody was hearing.
Well, did you say something really, really important?
Well, naturally, but I've forgotten what it was.
Well, we better recover what you said then, and because we don't want to miss anything.
You made an excellent observation, Deanna, and that is how saturated the press is with everything having to do with Israel. And there's such a long history of why that is true. It would really take up an entire program within itself. But let's face it. Even in American politics, we have had an incredibly long line of American presidents, senators, congressmen who believe very firmly that Israel remains as God's chosen people, that the land continues to be there. Some years ago right here, one of Oklahoma's own senators standing on the Senate floor got up and gave a presentation entitled 12 Reasons Why America Must Support Israel Unconditionally. And the first two reasons that he listed had to do with the land promises. That number one, they were God's chosen people. Number two, God gave Israel the land and it belongs to them forever. And so even though he was in some regards a very good politician, nonetheless his foreign policy votes were dictated and guided by his theological views that Israel remains the chosen people. Now, that type of ideology has likewise filtered down in any number of different ways into the news media, which in many, many ways is owned by very, very wealthy Jews. And it's not my purpose to get into that even. But the point of fact is, there's an ideology on the part of politicians that has bled down from their theology concerning Israel. And we've had presidents who have said, Jimmy Carter said it, Ronald Reagan said it, Israel is the chosen people of God, and we must support Israel no matter what. Well, when you have a president that feels that way, when you have politicians that, by and large, in a majority, feel that way, then American foreign policy is crafted along those lines, and you have political statements that are bled over into the very fabric of society. And, of course, the politicians are being guided. Everyone knows of the tremendous influence that Jerry Falwell had on the political direction of America for so long before his death. And so what we have witnessed for a good long time in American politics is a dominance of the political world as well as the ideological and theological world by the Zionist worldview, i.e., and when I use the term Zionist, there's both the political branch of that, which is not even theologically motivated, but then you have the theological Zionism, which absolutely is theologically motivated and driven. But there is nonetheless a partnership between the two to dominate the entire discussion worldwide and have it focused on Israel.
My. And you're absolutely correct. And I'm glad that you're pointing that out. We all know it, but it's wonderful that you are reiterating that. And it made me wonder when you mentioned the two presidents and of course the first one that actually recognized the Israeli state was Truman. And he did it against all of the advice of the Congress, and well, not all the Congress, of course, but he did it against advice. And all the presidents basically have said from the get go, except for JFK, and we know what happened to him, that Israel was somehow chosen. Now, you before we get much further, you are the president of the Preterist, am I saying that right?
That is correct, yes.
Research Institute. Could you give us a little bit of background about what that is, what kind of theology that is, what it embraces?
Certainly so. Preterism, or preterist, is from a Latin word, preterio. That may not be the exact pronunciation. I'm not real strong on Latin. But nonetheless, it means past. And in prophetic parlance, it means fulfilled. And a better term, to be honest about it, one that I much prefer, is the term of covenant eschatology. All three major views of the end times, you know, the coming of the Lord, judgment, and resurrection, believe that we're looking for the end of time or that we're looking for the end of the Christian age in which we're currently living. Doesn't matter if it's dispensational, amillennial, or postmillennial. They all look forward to the end of the current Christian age. I believe that's misguided. I believe that biblical eschatology is all about the end of the old covenant world of Israel that occurred with the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. And as a result of that, at that time, the new covenant world of Jesus Christ, which both the Old Testament and the New Testament both emphatically declared to be unending, without end, unshakable, etc., etc., the new covenant world of Christ came into existence, into full bloom, I should say, at that point of time. And therefore, what to me is an absolutely incredibly gratifying, liberating doctrine is we're not looking for the Antichrist, we're not looking for the man of sin, we're not looking for the great tribulation, we're not looking for the earth to all of a sudden go boom and be gone in the flash in a moment and twinkling of an eye. So covenant eschatology is the term that I and countless others use to describe the end of the old covenant world, that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about the end of the age, the coming of the Lord, the resurrection.
Okay, with that in mind, we do need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Right now, food is everywhere. If you want it, you can buy it. For now. When the coming crisis occurs, how will you feed your family? Will healthy nutrition be available? The answer is probably no. Jeff Lawton will show you how to survive the coming crisis in an abundant way with permaculture. Jeff Lawton is a permaculture designer, teacher, and consultant who has shown people like you, people in 35 countries around the world, people who want to know what they can do to survive the crisis that they see approaching. There is an absolutely free video online that will help you discover how to survive by giving you step-by-step instructions in establishing food forests that will help you become survival confident. Log on to jefflawton.org right now. This free video will only be available for a limited time. That's jefflawton.org. G-E-O-F-F-L-A-W-T-O-N.org. Survival is not optional. Visit jefflawton.org today.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 lengths. You can purchase yours now at CampingSurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet, only $39.83 right now on CampingSurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from CampingSurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation, CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Don K. Preston. He is the president of the Preterist Research Institute. And just a couple more questions about that. Now, do you have buildings? Do you collect money? Are you a federal corporation? Are you a 501c3? What is your take on the Old Testament, New Testament?
Okay. Boy, that's a mouthful. That's enough to talk for a week. We are a 501c3. We are tax exempt. We are supported strictly and solely by folks who appreciate and believe in what we are doing. And I can tell you this, Deanna, that the preterist movement, those who believe in covenant eschatology, is probably the fastest growing view of biblical eschatology in the world. It is causing tremendous consternation, needless to say, among the traditional views. And you know, they just fight it tooth and nail. I've engaged in numerous formal public debates. In fact, I just had a formal public debate here in Ardmore, Oklahoma this last July, a debate that I sponsored. I sponsor a yearly seminar here in Ardmore every year, normally in July. But I'll also be debating Steve Gregg, a very well-known evangelical scholar, in Denver, Colorado this upcoming September. And the reason for that, obviously, is because the view that all prophecy was fulfilled at the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, in spite of Jesus' words as he spoke of that event when he said, "These be the days of vengeance, in which all things that are written will be fulfilled," even though the words are very clear, very emphatic, very clearly, all three futurist views don't accept that. And so I try to take my stand on those clear, unambiguous words of Jesus, and I debate those who are willing to stand up and to differ with that in an honorable, gentlemanly, scholarly manner. And we've had some absolutely wonderful discussions. And as a result of those discussions, I must say there are an awful lot of brand new preterists in the world today. So that gives you a little bit of kind of what's going on. Again, we are 501(c). We are supported by believers and supporters who want to get the message out that we're not living in the last days, that we don't have to fear the future, that it's really incumbent upon Christians to be involved in this world that we live in, because after all, we're going to be here for a while. And so there's so many aspects, so many nuances and facets of the implications, for instance, of covenant eschatology, that it's just absolutely so exciting. Now, I understand a lot of people get upset about it. I understand people get very emotional about it. But my personal ministry is to lower the heat and to bring education, to bring information, and to engage. One of the bywords or one of the slogans of Preterist Research Institute is dialogue when possible, debate when necessary, at all times charity. And I very firmly believe in that when people can see the evidence, they can see the solid hermeneutic, the science of interpretation that lies at the foundation of covenant eschatology. They can see the emphatic words of Scripture in alignment with that. They can see the logical argumentation that is associated with it. I tell you what, I can't even begin to tell you the countless numbers of people who have said, "Why didn't I see this? It's right there. Anybody can see this." So it's an extremely exciting time to be living.
Indeed. I'm kind of concerned about your being a federal corporation, though. I mean, when you sign up to be a tax-exempt entity, you become a federal corporation and are thereby told by the federal government what you can and cannot say in your church buildings.
Well, I understand exactly your concern. My philosophy on that is I'm going to use the tax-exempt status as long as I can. If they ever step in and say, "You can't say this anymore," then I will tell them, yes, I can, and I'll continue to do it. You'll just have to charge me tax. I will not be stifled, and I will not be silenced in saying what I think needs to be said. And, you know, Deanna, I was terminated from what was considered to be one of the most dominant, if I may use that term, one of the most outstanding churches, one of the largest churches in my fellowship. I was fired from there for preaching this truth. I had no idea what my financial future was going to be, but I simply refuse to be intimidated by anyone who would seek to prevent me from speaking what I believe to be the truth. I don't care
who fired
if it's
you.
Pardon?
Which organization fired you?
My original fellowship is in the Churches of Christ denomination, and I'm a fifth generation member of the Churches of Christ. They now consider me a pariah, you know, black sheep, outcast, heretic, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you're in good company then.
Yeah, I feel like I am, but. You know, the wonderful thing about it is, as I said, even though I certainly did not know what my future was going to be financially, I had no alternate plans, but I really believe that the Lord would provide. The Lord has provided. And, you know, it's been a wonderful journey. As I mentioned a few moments ago, it's been a liberating journey. I've got a good friend named Jack Scott who lives in Kalispell, Montana. And Jack has gone through the exact same thing that I did, being fired, terminated for his convictions on covenant eschatology. He was a bright rising star in our fellowship, but just like me, he believed that conscience, living in the freedom of conscience, is more important than popularity. It's more important than people patting you on the back. It's more important even than having the security of a regular paycheck. And so,
Don, Jack, we do have to go to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Don K. Preston. He is the president of the Preterist Research Institute. The websites are BibleProphecy.com and Eschatology.org. All righty. You were talking about covenant eschatology and that you were not going to be silent. So you get to speak out about whatever you want. And in your book, you're speaking out against Israel. So let's talk about what's in the book and tell us why we should not be focusing everything on the Israeli state and why they're okay. Not the chosen people.
Well, let me preface my comments that I'm about to make by saying this. First of all, there's absolutely no question whatsoever, biblically speaking, that Israel was at one time God's chosen people. That's indisputable from the Old Testament. And in order to deter any of those who might possibly call in and say, well, you're anti-Semitic, let me say this. I am absolutely not anti-Semitic. I affirm 100% that God kept all of his promises to Israel. Now, how a person could be anti-Semitic while affirming that God was faithful 100% to all of his promises to Israel, I don't know. I've yet to figure that one out, and I've asked countless numbers of people who have thrown that little epithet around, oh, you're anti-Semitic because you say God was through with Israel in A.D. 70. Well, it's simply affirming what the Bible affirms. But I did want to get those two things out there on the table. Number one, Israel was in fact God's chosen people for 1,500 years. But number two, it is not anti-Semitic to point out that the Bible itself says that the time was going to come in which Israel would no longer be the exclusive people of God, but that God would in fact include any men, any women into his covenant body. The Old Testament predicted the conversion of the Gentiles, for crying out loud. And Paul, the great apostle, said that the mystery of God, although Israel did not fully understand it, he admitted that, he stated that, he nonetheless said it was there in the prophecies all along that the Gentiles would be the fellow heirs, equal participants with Israel in salvation. That's not anti-Semitic. That is saying this was God's plan all along. That plan included Jew, Gentile in one body in Christ on equal footing, but that equal body meant the passing away of that exclusive position for that single exclusive body. So, Deanna, the message that I try to give to people is we don't want to look at this on the negative aspect and say, oh, well, look, you're claiming God's through. Well, the point of fact is what we have to do is look at God's original plan. Let me share just a couple of things with you, just very, very quickly here. In Genesis 28:15 and following, in the story of Jacob's vision of the ladder that extended from heaven to earth, the Lord made a statement there, and it actually recalls back to the Abrahamic promise, but the Lord said concerning Abraham's seed, Isaac's seed, Jacob's seed, I will never leave you or forsake you until I have fulfilled all of my words to you. Oh, wait a minute. You know, what's interesting here, Deanna, is that the rabbis used to ponder over that. Say, this is a really troublesome verse, because it said that God, when he had fulfilled all of the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as a national entity, as a physical entity, as a matter of fact, there would be a change in relationship, just like the second verse that I want to note is Genesis 49, verse 10, as Joseph gave the blessing to his 12 sons. And In the blessing of those 12 sons, Genesis 49:12 said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Now, the rabbis, once again, used to say, boy, this is troubling. What does he mean, the scepter will not depart until Shiloh comes? I thought Shiloh was going to sit on the throne of David. Well, that's true. And here's David of the tribe of Judah. There's something troubling here, the rabbis would say, because on the one hand, Messiah would seemingly rule forever, and yet the scepter would depart from Judah. Wow, they used to just perplex about this. Well, what we know about it from the New Covenant is that the geopolitical entity of Judah was to be just like the geopolitical theocracy concerning the 10 northern tribes. In the book of Hosea and Amos, the Lord said, I'm going to bring that kingdom to an end, not the family, but the kingdom, according to Amos chapter 9. God divorced the 10 northern tribes, and he said he would divorce the two southern tribes in the last days, but in the last days, although he would have to divorce Judah, just like he divorced the 10 northern tribes, just like he destroyed the kingdom of Israel, and she would never rise again, by the way, Amos chapter 5, 1 and 2, he would likewise destroy Judah, and she would never rise again in the same way. But guess what? He would restore Israel in a transformed new covenant, new relationship that would not in any way resemble the old covenant form. And this is where most people, I think, Deanna, miss the boat. They talk about the restoration of Israel. Well, Israel was a physical nation in a physical land with a physical temple, et cetera, et cetera. And so you've got to restore it. That's not the meaning of the Old Covenant prophecies for which foretold the Messianic kingdom.
You talk about the rabbis, you talk about Genesis 49 and the promises there. What do the tribes of Israel have to do with contemporary Jews? And don't the rabbis actually study the Talmud rather than the Torah?
Oh, absolutely. There's not even a debatable issue here. There are two issues that you raised there. Number one, concerning the Talmud. Anyone conversant with modern-day rabbis. Now, when I speak of the rabbis, I normally refer to the Tanaitic period prior to the Talmud as we know it today, the rabbis who still tried to study Torah. In modern day, certainly the modern day iteration of Israel, as we commonly call it, is Talmudic, not related to Torah. And that's not a statement at all that is even debatable. And if you start investigating and you start asking them the questions, they admit to this. I mean, this is not even, again, this is not even a debatable issue. So very often when I refer to the rabbis, I'm not necessarily referring to those who are so 100% steeped in the Talmud. But concerning the identity of Israel today, it's that again, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, Deanna, but the Jewish State Department admits that there is not a Hebrew race today. They identify an Israeli as someone who lives in Israel, and a Jew is someone of any race, any country, that simply follows the Jewish religion. The Biblical Encyclopedia of, I believe it's 1974, I would get into my file here and look up the specific bibliographic reference for you, and I'll be happy to provide this, by the way, to any of the viewers who have any doubt about this. But if I leave Skype or if I minimize it and try to get into my word processor, it kind of kicks us off Skype.
So we don't want to do that.
So, but anyway, the Judaica Encyclopedia Judaica, I believe it's the 1974 version, but nonetheless, it says it is a myth unsupported by anthropology that there is a homogeneous race descended from Abraham that exists today. Now, I'd like for the listeners to just catch the power of that statement. If there is not a race of people today that can trace its lineage, physical bloodline lineage, to Abraham, then all of the talk today about, quote, Israel, unquote, being the fulfillment of prophecy is really moot. What many people fail to understand, and this brings into sharp focus the significance of what happened in AD 70 in the fall of Jerusalem. Josephus records it. Even the rabbis recorded it, who lived immediately afterwards. All of the genealogical records. Now, what's the big deal with genealogical records to the Jews? Well, the genealogical records told you who's of the tribe of Zebulun, who is of Issachar, who is Benjamin, who is Judah, therefore possibly of the lineage of Messiah, who is Levi, i.e. who gets to serve as priest. If you could not be verified that you were of the tribe of Levi, you don't get to serve as priest in the temple at all, period. If you can't verify that you're of the 12 tribes, you don't even get to go into the temple area to offer acceptable sacrifice. And so the genealogies were, in many, many ways, the very foundation of Israel as the covenant people of God. And so when Josephus, who of course was a first century Jew, who witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem, he was there. He was a general in the Jewish army that got captured and was then made into the personal historian of Vespasian, the Roman emperor. But when Josephus himself records how the genealogical records were completely and totally destroyed, the impact, the implications of that are profound beyond any imagination. I mean, it is the foundation of saying, oh, well, today I'm, you know, I am of the tribe of Levi, so I'm going to be a priest in this future restored temple in Jerusalem. Sorry, you can't prove that. Not a Jew on the face of the earth that can genealogically confirm who they are.
Okay, so who is this group of contemporary Jews who have nothing whatsoever to do with the tribe of Israel? How did they waltz into Palestine and steal a bunch of land and kill a bunch of people?
Boy, oh boy. Once again, marvelous question. This goes back to a whole lot of stuff that is absolutely 100% theologically driven. Deanna, it goes back, obviously, as I know that you're aware, back to the Balfour Declaration. And obviously, prior to the Balfour Declaration, it goes back to men who were politicians in Britain who were very, very firm, killiest. They were Zionist. They were motivated and driven by men who were Jews and who believed that the Bible predicted the restoration of Israel. Now, all of this is driven. All of this is driven. All of the political intrigue that took place in order to get the Balfour Declaration signed. There's a whole lot of intrigue behind it because a Jew invented some smokeless powder that was just an incredible, incredible military advantage. Because he did that, he was part of the British movement. They promised the Jews a whole lot of things. They carried through with their promises. But be that as it may, what must be kept in mind? And a person can even set aside the purely political Zionist movement for just a moment. What must be kept in mind is that so many of the British politicians that were motivated to sign the Balfour Declaration were motivated by their theological conviction that Israel, who had been scattered to the four winds, was the Israel of the Bible. They had completely lost track or were completely ignorant of the fact that the majority of those Jews that existed were Ashkenazi. They were absolutely not of any kind of a bloodline going back to Abraham. And by the way, even the most ardent Zionist of the day, of our day, Deanna, as I'm sure you know, even the most ardent Zionists will admit that up to 85% of those in Israel today that call themselves Israelites or of the Israelite nation are in fact of Ashkenazi descent. Well, the Ashkenazi came from the Black Sea. It started all the way back in the 8th and the 9th century, in which these Gentile people who had no bloodline with the Jews, to use the word Jew in a generic sense, but they had no bloodline to Abraham, they were converted to the Jewish religion. And from that point forward, they begin to migrate, and down through the centuries, they migrated to Israel. And now up to 85% of the, quote, Jews, unquote, in Israel today are Ashkenazi. They are absolutely of Gentile origin. Oh, which, by the way, Abraham was also of Gentile origin.
Okay.
You know, Joshua 24 tells us that Abraham's father was an Amorite, a pagan, idolater. And Ezekiel chapter 16 tells us that Abraham himself was an Amorite and Sarai was a Hittite. So, you know, when people want to talk about the blood of Abraham, maybe we ought to talk about the blood of Amorites and Hittites.
Okay. Now the English, were they motivated by the resources in Palestine? What motivated them besides their religion? Because...
Well, obviously, there was an awful lot of political machinations that were going on, but primarily, my understanding, Deanna, and perhaps there's a lot of things that I don't know about it, but their main motivating factor from all of the resources that I have read and the research that I've done down through the years, the fundamental primary motivating factor was theological. I don't know that there are enough natural resources in the land of Israel. Perhaps I'm simply ignorant of it, and I'll freely change if someone shows me that it's true. I'm not personally aware that there are sufficient resources in the land of Israel to justify what was done. Now, that's not to negate that Israel, you know, was once a land flowing with milk and honey, and it's not to negate this and that and the other. I'm just simply saying I don't know that it played a key motivating factor, role, in bringing about the Balfour Declaration and the, oh, the betrayal of the Palestinian people that the British had made promise after promise after promise to, and then turn around and absolutely stabbed them in the back. So that, again, there's so much political machination going on during that period of time, some of which may not even be on the record yet.
Right.
But I want to emphasize the theological motivation that was playing the dominant role.
All righty. We do need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TheraVim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Don K. Preston. He is the president of the Preterist Research Institute. On January 14, 1947, in the New York Herald Tribune, Zionist opponents inserted a full-page article entitled, "According to Zionist, Misleading World with Untruths for Palestine Conquest," as an advertisement. Experts estimated the chemical and mineral wealth of the Dead Sea to have a proven value of $5 trillion, and that was in 1947 money. In order for the bankers and Zionists to acquire the resources, it was necessary to establish a Jewish state there. So I think...
Now, see, that's fascinating. I wasn't even aware of that. That's great information.
And I think, too, that politicians use religion in order to justify going after those infidels or getting rid of the Native Americans or going after any really bad people just so they can plunder.
Well, what a novel idea. Who would have ever thunk it? I'm afraid I'm just as cynical as you are. It's really abhorrent when you look at the history of politicians and politics and the things that have been done in the name of religion to justify the cause of politics. It really, honestly, is abhorrent.
It is. And so it kind of makes you wonder, okay, well, is there really a need for religion? Is there a need for, I think that you don't need to embrace a particular religion in order to have values. I think that we are all inherently made that we have some sort of a sense that we should treat people with respect and not do damage to other people.
Well, my personal philosophy is, and of course I am a firm believer and a bashed believer in the morals and ethics set forth in the Bible. I believe that the biblical moral standard is by far the most superior that is out there. I happen to agree with you that I think that we have within us, as one philosopher called, a spark of eternity, that people are, to use your term, created with a fundamental sense of right and wrong. You know, every society that has ever existed, bar none, has believed that it's wrong to steal. Now, their view of what their definition of what stealing really is might be different from yours and mine, but they definitely believe that stealing is definitely wrong. So, again, I would agree with that, with what you stated on one level. I just happen to believe that the biblical standard is the definitive standard, and without an absolute firm objective standard of right and wrong, that man really does turn into nothing more than an animal. He turns into the Darwinian, the strongest survive and the strongest get to do what they want to do mentality, which is dangerous.
It is. All righty, we do have a 60-second top-of-the-hour break. We will be right back after station ID and a word from our sponsors.